This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News of WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Adviston on The Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC Spin.
Now, here is Dave Kaiser.
Hi, y'all. Well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard
and Jim Reed
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harry Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Ed is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the nocturne, we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dell here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raw.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hef Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
We're back on WPTF with Weekend Gardener. Stellar cast this morning. I'm Mike Raley, and Rufus Edmonds is across the way there, former Attorney General and Secretary of State, Chief Deputy Counsel on the Senate Watergate Committee, and the current Secretary General of Gardening, which...
what a title.
Now,
what a title.
Now, the late Governor Jim Hunt call you?
He is the one who
Secretary
started the
General.
Name in Greenville, North Carolina, one time at a party. He was getting ready to introduce me, and he said, What shall I do? I said, well, I've been Secretary of State and been Attorney General. He said, well, how about just being the Secretary General? I said, yeah, I want to be like that guy at the United Nations, Boutros, golly, golly, golly.
So he was introducing you at something?
And introduced me and named me the Secretary General. Thank you, Governor Hunt.
Well, you are officially, current Secretary of State made it so, and Governor McCrory signed this proclamation. So,
right.
So you are that. It's an unpaid job, though, of course.
Yeah, we had some joker that said, how much does that pay?
They worried about that. Well, we have the auditor here this morning. I guess
nothing.
We could check that out.
It pays nothing.
See, he's already checked it out.
I've already checked that out.
It paid in goodwill.
And Patrick McMillan, who is a retired professor at Clemson University, we're so honored to have all of you, and our auditor, The auditor, Dave Bolick, is with us.
Well, I've learned more today than I've learned in the past 5 days doing my job. So this has been an educational
experience.
Well,
I don't know what you've learned about, but we're glad to share.
I got my okra question.
Spineless okra.
So I am on
fire
there.
Do you have any other gardening questions? I don't want to put you on spot or anything.
But you have somebody on hold?
I do. Joel. We'll go with Joel and Garner. I apologize, Joel. We just get to talking. Are you okay?
Hey, yes, sir. Can y'all hear me all right?
We got you. We got you. Your phone's still working.
All righty. Well, first I want to say, Governor Hunt, he was, to me, the last, I would say, truly nonpartisan or bipartisan governor. Yeah. And, he was pretty
partisan when he was trying to get elected.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. But I'll say the way he governed.
I understand.
He governed with class, and he never forgot where
he
came from.
He had a lot of class. There's no doubt about that. He had a lot of he was always available to at least to the reporters at WPTF and to our shows. He loved WPTF and was on a lot. And when I was on that beat, state government, I certainly had access to him. He made time. His bodyguard was more worried about it because he was trying to keep him moving to the next event and so forth. But Governor Hunt was ready to sit down and talk always.
Well, I remember his the way he. Cause I'm 58 years old, and but I remember here in North Carolina the way he handled Hurricane Floyd and the total destruction and decimation of that. I really thought that he was the right man, the right time for that. I was going to Mr. Evanston is my gramps. I hadn't called in and talked to y'all in a month of Sundays. It's been a while, but I said this last time I called in. My grandpa, he met you. It was sometime either early 80s or whatever, or like anyway, he met you at a y'all did an event, and you were there to honor the World War II D-Day veterans, and he was severely wounded on D-Day, and he never forgot that, and he loved you to the day he died in 1989. He always referred to you as Mr. Evanston, and if anybody messed up called you Rufus in front of him, he corrected them. Respect for you, Mr. Evanston.
I believe it's just Rufus, by the way. And I believe that was a memorial at a cemetery, and I recall it was the hottest day of the world, but I remember your father, do you remember what city it was in?
No, sir, it was my grandfather, but I don't remember what city it was in. I didn't go with him, but he that's all he talked about. When he got back,
where was he from? Where did he live?
We're from Roxboro, North Carolina.
Yeah. Maybe it was in Roxboro.
No, there was a memorial garden out on the Raleigh Road where a lot of veterans were that day.
Oh, okay.
And it was about 1980.
And it was aching, bacon hot, like you say.
Aching, bacon hot.
That's exactly what he said. But he thought the world of you, Mr. Evanston, and you are well respected, at least around our parts from up there. And Dave Bolick, I want to say this. Dave Bolick interviewed me as a young U.S. Marine about to deploy to Saudi Arabia in November of 1990. He was at Camp Lejeune, and he interviewed me as we were loading up our equipment, fixing to leave to head to a trip point to fly out. He interviewed me, and I was on Channel 11 News that evening.
The auditor's father, who we talked about earlier, I worked with and honored to work with and knew him.
Yes, and he was a very – they gave him access that a lot of reporters wouldn't get. And they, Mr. Bolick, he was –
Well, I suspect that Dave Bolick Sr. could talk his way into any place he wanted.
He was good at that.
And
I appreciate you telling that story. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, look, I want to commend Mr. Bolick here for his job as state auditor, and I love the commercial, the campaign commercial that I guess it was your family did.
It
talking
was.
About they need to keep you out of the house and keep you busy auditing or whatever.
Well, so that's what I've been doing. Oh yeah, you're right, and that is my real family. On
yeah,
the
you
commercial.
All right, you boys, quieting down.
How about that?
But I just want to share that with y'all. I don't got any gardening questions or anything, but I listen to the show when I'm on the way home from work on the weekends. I work the night shift. I listen to the show and get a lot of good
information. God bless you, man. That's a tough shift. That's a tough shift.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for that.
Yes, sir. But y'all be blessed.
Merry Christmas, Joel.
Happy Hanukkah. And enjoy your Christmas holidays, and I'll be listening to you next year as well.
All right.
Great.
We'll be here as long as Mr. Curtis wants us here.
See, that is the best part about being state auditor, and Rufus could say that too, because when you go around the state, you get to have conversations with folks like Joel every day.
Every day.
You can help every them. Day. You have the power to help them.
Every day. I was in Rockingham County the other day, and the wife of a state representative and I were in elementary school together from kindergarten all the way through fifth grade. And we got to talk about old stories about being in Eden. And you know, that's the kind of stuff you just don't get unless you're out there talking to folks. And then getting to hear that about my dad was that special.
Yeah. All right, Derek, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was, got to admit, I'm a part-time listener. But Mike, I've been
what do we have to do to make you a full-time listener?
Derek? It's hard for me to transition from AM to FM somehow when I'm in my car on the radio, on the move. I don't know, Mike. I really am I'm not in the car much listening to the radio.
Yeah. Well, you need to listen in the house, too.
Yeah. Let me try to put you on my speaker. I can barely hear you. I can hear you guys better now, I think.
Well, I'll talk louder, Derek.
Okay. Hey, is that you, Dave?
No, that's me. I'm Dave. I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got it back on the ear mode. Okay, guys, I'm really sorry.
How can we help you, Derek?
I was only on hold from Hampstead to Raleigh, but we're good.
Yeah. All right. Well, Hampstead, that's a growing place. Certainly is. How can we help you this morning, Derek?
No, I just wanted to say to Dave, first of all, let me just say prayers to the family of Governor Hunt, and also to our racing community, the Biffle family, and for Greg Biffle and all he did for our Western community
very active.
They were in need.
Spent a lot of his own money to bring food, supplies, generators, everything. His own helicopter, his own planes to Western North Carolina during
just amazing. Hawaii. I mean, I would have never
and
known
he
that
kept doing.
He had access to all those resources.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he spent all that money that he won racing in a great way. He spent a lot of money.
I agree.
In fuel
agree.
And everything
totally.
Else.
Totally.
Yeah.
But Dave, I did want to say hello, and I do think you're doing a tremendous job. You're making us guys back at Old Northern High School proud, and I cut through your neighborhood every chance I get to go to Willow Haven, over there at, Heritage Heights.
Yeah. Heritage Heights, that's where I grew up. Well, went to high school, lived in Durham. So, yeah, I went to Northern High School. So, yeah, thanks. I'm night proud, right?
Yeah.
Great. United, as we say always.
Well, thank you, Derek.
But what's been the most challenging thing? I mean, obviously the traveling, I'm jealous. I just got a chance to come down for a couple of days and was hoping to do some fishing down at the coast, but the surf was just too rough to fish in. But what's been the greatest challenge of the job so far? I know the traveling's been challenging, but also rewarding.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest challenge of state auditor is getting a handle on where all the tax dollars go and trying to siphon it to one place so we can hold it accountable. Over the years, the way tax dollars are spent, not only at the municipal and county level, but across state agencies, has gotten so spread out. There's so many ways of expending money. Once the legislature appropriates that money, the money's out the door. And keeping account of it is very challenging. It shouldn't be, given the modern technology that we have available to us. And so one of the challenges that I've taken on is trying to figure out a way to ultimately, in my time in office, is to bring that to a one-stop shop for folks to know exactly how their money is spent. And we started that with our dashboard on Helene spending, which is our first stab at it, and it is a first step, but we're going to grow that, and we're going to grow this idea of dashboards. And in the coming year, for example, we're going to look at bonds. So when you go into the ballot box and you vote to approve a park bond or a school bond, do you really know where that money went that you borrowed?
Exactly.
I think most people don't. And so what we've been doing over the last 6 months is gathering up information on bonds that have been issued over the last half dozen years, and we're going to put those up on a dashboard and show the expenditures so people know exactly how much those the borrowed money is being spent, how much has been spent, and what we're getting in return. I think that's going to be a valuable thing for people to be able to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I agree with you 100% right now. Jacqueline, I think a lot of people do question with the North Carolina Education Lottery and where those funds have actually gone.
Right. Yeah. We're on that, Derek. We're going coming up after the new year, so pay attention.
I graduated my three and got the last one off to UNC Charlotte. So he's down there with you, Dave, and he's going to need a job here when he graduates.
That's why you were calling.
There you go.
We got to go, Derek, we got to run some commercials here. But thank you very much.
I'm almost to Durham. You guys have a great day.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Merry Christmas.
All right, more of the Weekend Gardener straight ahead here on WPTF. It's 10:21. Okay, we're back here. We're just partying on the air and off the air. Somebody asked me what the name of this banana smelling plant is to me. It smells like banana kits. It may smell differently to you, but
no, it smells like bananas to me.
It's a winter sweet,
right? Chimonanthus precox.
But I don't know if I have another one that doesn't have much of a fragrance, and I don't know where I got this or which variety it is, Doctor. Do you have any idea?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Dadgummit.
Don't know the varieties of Chimonanthus.
Do you mean we stumped the doctor there?
I don't know.
You can stump me. It's not that hard.
Well, I'm gonna pick up the phone and call Tony Avent then and ask him what it is. Andrea, do you ever dealt with the winter sweet plant? Andrea?
But it's a beautiful flower.
Okay. We got you now. Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. But this is prettier than my other one. My other one looks more like that's smaller flowers. Not exactly like a witch hazel, but it's I don't know. I'm gonna have to do some research.
It is a really nice smelling plant.
Yeah. Now it doesn't smell as the banana pudding plant is even better. That's a magnolia that I think we've got the auditor's interest in for Evergreen.
I'm going to come by the house and take a look.
You call it the banana plant magnolia.
Banana pudding, because you got a banana plant that has a real big leaves. That's different.
It's a real banana plant. Yeah.
What's it called in the
It's called
Latin
banana shrub.
It's just called banana shrub?
It's Magnolia figo.
Figo.
Figo. Yep. Okay. Magnolia figo is the banana shrub. Yeah.
Now, Dave, don't expect a huge bloom. It's going to be a small one.
Well, it's bigger than this. It's a lot bigger than this.
Somebody out there is making the devil out of peanut, out of banana pudding in your whole yard.
Yep.
Yeah. If you get a good bloom crop, it's something you can smell.
You definitely don't grow it for the showy flower.
Yeah.
No. Flower is kind of not brightly colored.
And there's another, it gets a lot bigger, that, Dave, that is also something I recommend everybody having. And Rufus has several of them in a row there at a hedge, is a fragrant osmanthus.
Oh, yeah.
It has tiny little blooms. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Beautiful plant.
Yeah.
It's very reliable.
Tea olive.
It's a type of tea olive.
Sweet tea olive.
And it's just the fragrance just permeates the landscape.
And again, it's
the fall.
It's autumn and early spring.
Yeah.
So I get three blooms.
Three blooms.
Yeah. Sometimes it just gets fooled and it will bloom again. But
we talked about a whole lot of flowers today, but if you're living in somewhere like Mitchell County, you don't get a chance to have a lot of flowers. But I also think we don't look at the garden, we look at it as something that needs to be cleaned down to the ground in the autumn, and we don't appreciate those parts of the plants after they've been frosted that actually add something to the landscape. And you know, there's a lot of things we think of being really cool this time of year, even though it's not flowering season, like things that you might take for granted, like acorns. So I brought you guys a couple of little show and tells today.
Where in the world did you get those?
Ooh. One is a little acorn. You ever seen an acorn like that?
No, I have not.
This is a bur oak acorn, and those are actually acorns off of a very, very famous bur oak called the Centennial Oak that was planted on the Clemson University campus, and it's a highly treasured and protected tree, state champion for South Carolina. The thing is almost an acre in coverage because these bur oaks grow up really short and spread out really wide. But it has this monstrous, you can't see on the radio, but it's monstrous.
It's the biggest one I've ever seen.
It fills the palm of your hand. And, you know, something like, you know, a lot of times we don't think about how we can utilize the winter products of our plants. What a decorative thing. Plant yourself a bur oak. They grow great here.
They grow here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, wait on what he's going to show us after the next break.
Okay. Wish we had TV in here. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. We'll talk to Richard. The long-suffering Richard, because we left him on hold. Oh, well. He's a nice guy. We'll be back. All righty. We're back on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Rufus Edmonston, Patrick McMillan, Andrea Lane's up in Mitchell County, where what's temperature now? It's probably about the same as it is here. I think when we called you, it was about 30 degrees earlier this morning, and we've warmed up a little bit. But
45. Yeah. We're at 45.
Yeah, we've really warmed up a bit. But are you down in a holler? Are you down in a holler or where?
I'm in a holler, I guess, but I'm on a mountain as well. I'm at 3,500 feet. So I'm up a mountain road.
Okay.
Very good. Gravel road?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, very much so. Mm-hmm. Although it's in great shape now. It finally got all fixed up after the hurricane. It completely washed out. And so now it's better than ever.
Awesome.
That is awesome. That's the one person that would intimidate the state auditor is a master gardener.
Master gardener.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're all over the state. It's a great group of people who work.
It's a great state program. Well, it's a national program, I believe. But, yeah. North Carolina does a very good job.
So do you all have any projects going on? Are you all pretty active this time of year? Or?
No. We're doing what everybody else is doing. We're kind of auditing our past gardens and thinking about what we're going to do in the new year. Things are like for example, the State Association of Master Gardeners has put together a series of presentations on lifelong gardening, and I'm on a small team that are reviewing that curriculum. As a person in her 60s who wants to continue gardening, as well as a master gardener who would have to might be the person teaching others how to continue gardening through their lifetime. And so the state coordinator, Charlotte Glenn, who is awesome, and her team has put together this curriculum and has asked master gardeners like myself to critique it before they roll it out to the whole Master Gardener team statewide.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to hearing more about that. Let's talk to Richard. Richard, good morning. Sorry we left you on hold so long, Richard. You can.
Oh, that's all right. I'm just glad y'all are there.
Set up later.
Well, I have three items. Number one, Merry Christmas, everybody. Number two was something I learned about nitrogen in tomatoes, and number three would be when I talked to Governor Hunt one time.
Oh, cool! Yeah. I think everybody's talked to him at one time or another. He made the rounds. If anybody did, he certainly did. What about nitrogen and tomatoes? Let's pick that topic.
I was taking a a group of potential pastors to join the ministry at the port in Morehead City. And Pastor Dave, as I went by the phosphate and phosphoric acid areas, I informed the people in the van about the role of phosphate in gardening. And it just happened that Pastor Dave had a degree from NC State in turf management. And then he explained that the ideal tomato will have less residual nitrogen in it, and that's why they adjust the fertilizer mixture.
See, Dave, this is a gentleman is an engineer, and so we get very technical when he calls.
Yes.
Is everybody following him?
I'm following.
Yeah. Now the rest of the story.
Yeah. What's the rest of the story, Richard?
Well, it's simply that's why the tomato fertilizers have more phosphate in them and less nitrogen, because you don't want that residual in the plant.
How about that? Do you agree, Doctor?
Yeah, the nitrogen actually delays ripening of the fruit if you have too much nitrogen in your fertilizer you're using on tomatoes. And, of course, nitrogen grows leaves.
That's true. Any flowering plant, you're going to delay or retard the blooming from over-nitrogen, over-feeding.
Yep. So absolutely true.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Richard. That was kind of a roundabout way to get there, but that's true.
It's a storyteller art.
Yeah.
There you go.
What else you got?
Okay. Well, the time I met Governor Hunt was when I was a news photographer for a low-budget TV station in New Bern, and they couldn't.
I didn't know you did that.
Pardon?
I didn't know you did that.
Back in ancient history.
Okay.
And so they gave me a list of questions. It was actually a verbal ambush, and so I asked the questions. And I thought, oh, God, why can't they just let the man have a conversation?
Right.
So I got back to the TV station, and they edited out what they wanted to edit to make him look bad. And so I figured, God, if this is the way I have to make a living, I'll find something else. So eventually I joined the Navy.
Well, I'm sure that Governor Hunt wasn't bothered very much by that. And by the way, we don't all edit out pertinent information in this business.
I know, but I think he was pretty prudent in navigating through the verbal ambush.
Yeah, I'm sure it's old hat to him.
And the other thing was when you go down the highway and see the cable guide rail, you can thank Governor Hunt for that. He really pushed NCDOT to install that. There's no telling how many lives that cable guide rail has saved.
Yeah, in the medians. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. I remember that, and it has saved a lot of lives. Richard, thank you.
All right.
And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, my friend.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yes, sir,
Merry
Richard.
Christmas, Richard.
All right. Bye.
More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. It's 10:41. We're back on WPTF. Just a few minutes remaining with a WPTF Weekend Gardener. The last one before Christmas, I guess, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, next Thursday is Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to everybody.
And I do have a Governor Hunt story, too. I think everybody that's been in the public eye is
Governor
Hunt.
Please, everybody share their stories.
Governor Hunt, I was at an event as a very young man in eastern North Carolina. And he was the type of person that took a lot of time with young people. And I was young. I was in my 20s. And he pulled me to the side. And it was a really busy crowd. And he said, I'm going to teach you how to shake hands in a crowd. And so he did. He taught me how to do that. He said, if you ever get to the position where you're shaking hands in a crowd, here's how you do it. You got to find a young guy like yourself and grab him by the arm and then sort of use him as a pivot.
Absolutely.
And you
absolutely
can move right through the crowd. And then if you need to, if you need to stop, you can always just pull the young guy and start talking to him and walk away. And yeah. It was great, great tactic, but always a gentleman. And the fact that he would take time, you know, to pull a young guy over.
Well, he reminded me of Bill Clinton was one of the best people in the world in the crowd. Jim Hunt was second best. He was not one of those who would be talking to you and then tried to turn around and say who's coming next. He would pay attention to you is what I liked about Governor Hunt.
Yeah.
And that
he
brings,
looked you right in the eye.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Which reminds me of the Cliff Joyner saying of the day, Dave.
Cliff Joyner is a childhood friend who's a financial planner.
But I am aware.
Never be limited by other people's limited imaginations. Did you get that one?
I can hear Cliff saying that right now.
Absolutely. Now, Mae Jemison said that in reality, we're going to attribute it to Cliff.
Well, you want to say it again?
Never be limited by other people's limited imaginations.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Don't pay attention to
that. You've never
people.
Had a problem with that.
Never. Never.
You had an imagination.
Never.
Hey, you know, you and Governor Hunt got along pretty well, but y'all did. I mean, he was serving at the same time as you, and he had his ideas, and you had your ideas.
I'll have to make this real brief. One time when President Clinton was president, the office of U.S. Marshal for the Western District came open, and Governor Hunt was nominally the person to make the suggestion. But I had my notions, too, because I was real close to President Clinton. I wanted my brother. And finally, I did a little bit of skullduggery and got to President Clinton before Hunt did and got my brother appointed. And I was in the Capitol at that time, Dave. My office was. And the governor was a little bit aggravated about it. He said, you embarrassed me. And we had sort of a standoff there for about 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden he walked up one day and he said, hey, look, your brother was best qualified. He'll make a fine marshal. I want to thank you for putting up with my being rude to you. That was one of the nicest things. And there were times when I gave rulings that he didn't like, but he never tried
to browbeat me
or do anything like that. I just said, well, I'm going to save you some trouble in the end, because what they're doing right now is not going to carry judicial weight. And he would accept those things.
Yeah.
And help me a lot. I would have sometimes, when I was attorney general, you'd have a drug case where you needed somebody to have a little relief because they had been good to the SBI about a drug deal or something. And he would commute sentences and do things like that to sort of honor people that had helped us. So I have nothing but fond memories of Governor Hunt.
And he was a gardener, too. He had definitely. He was, out on his farm in Rock Ridge. Billy, Brother Billy's out at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. Billy, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Yes, sir. I guess you got some. Do you have any Christmas trees left there?
We do. We'll have Christmas trees all the way up to New Year's Eve.
Okay. All right. And then they go bye-bye. So what else do you have? You got any firewood and greens and sweet potatoes, stuff like that out there this morning?
We do. And tunnel-grown strawberries and apples.
Oh,
those tunnel-grown strawberries from down east, down near Wilmington. They're just amazing the way they grow those, and they taste like it's May. So you got all the Christmas paraphernalia, and up in the market shops, we were there last week doing the show, and that whole building is permeating the cinnamon bread and all that goes with that, and it's just it's a hard place to go to sometimes when you're trying to diet. I know that people have problems with that, but what else do you have there this morning?
Well, we have all the different gift selections. A lot of people have been calling asking about our fruit baskets, and market shops is a place to get multiple fruit baskets. All types of different gifts, a lot of stuff made right here in North Carolina, soaps, lotions, seafood, coffee in the grill, and good pies and cakes.
And of course, you can get Rufus Dog there at the Market Grill at mustard, slaw, chili, and onions.
I wonder if the state auditor's ever had one.
Hey, I have had a Rufus Dog, and the state auditor bought the state auditor's Christmas tree for office at the farmer's market.
I did, right? We
put it on the Facebook that we did that, and it was a great day. I had a great morning going through all the trees.
It is so much fun. Got an
Ash County Fraser Fir from the farmer's market right there in the Albemarle building in downtown Raleigh.
The only thing I've tried to convince Commissioner Troxler over the years that they need, it's very much in some ways like the state fair. I think they need a Ferris wheel or something like that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I think they need a Ferris wheel. Yeah. I mean, it's a destination. Why not? I can't get any action out of that department, though.
Keep at it.
I am.
Maybe the auditor can help.
The next Council of State meeting.
I'll bring that up.
He'll get a good laugh out of that. So
words of wisdom from the Weekend Gardener.
good saying. Words of wisdom from the Weekend Gardener.
Lots of people coming out there for that.
Well, Billy, you never have told me about how the kale business is.
Yeah, we've discussed kale this morning.
It is thriving. I sat and looked at the dinosaur kale this morning. And it looked good.
Oh,
I'm relieved.
I'm
so relieved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry, Rufus. They're not going to forget about
you. So, speaking of food, one way or the other, the Rufus Dog or kale, whichever you choose.
Oh my God! Is there a choice?
There's no choice. Rufus Dog.
Besides the Market Grill, you've got the Farmer's Market restaurant with those big biscuits, and then the seafood restaurant. So, I mean, you can really indulge yourself in food out there today or any day, right, Billy?
Yes, sir. It's more food than you take a stick at. That's for sure.
And Logan's, of course, that's a wonderful place to visit out there. They have more than plants, a lot more than plants, at Logan's, as they did when they were in downtown. And that's a fun place. So last-minute gifts, a lot of last-minute gifts you can find at the State Farmers Market, I'm sure.
Yes, there are so many things out here to see and do and buy.
Y'all got
a disappointment.
Got a big 2026 coming up, and you've got a day off coming too, Billy. The State Farmers Market is not open on Christmas.
That's right. We closed at 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and we will open back up at midnight on Christmas night.
So
and that is for our wholesale and all, not our retail.
Well, thank you. I don't have to come.
Still want you here, Ruth.
Is Nahada open today? I need some chitlins.
They are not.
Oh.
They take a few days off here, but they are open at their store in Goldsboro.
Okay, I might have to drive down there.
I see Patrick's licking his lips. He wants chitlins so badly.
It's a delicacy.
Me and Patrick
are about by the Dave, yeah.
I know about chitlins.
Well, that's
be careful because you might get invited to a certain.
That's right, Governor Scott. Carr Scott
someday, and you don't want to malign chitlins.
No, I love Governor Carr Scott started the Chitlin Club.
I love chitlins. Yeah.
That's right.
I've had chitlins in Hyde County before.
So. Hyde County
will be open. Nahunna will be open December 31st.
Well,
and then
thank goodness.
Close New Year Day, and then back to normal schedule after that.
Well, Billy, I hope Miss Monica and all of you have a wonderful Christmas and a happy New Year, and rest a little bit because I know you work hard.
All right, I appreciate that. Merry Christmas to y'all. Y'all come see us.
All right.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.
Yes. State Farmers Market, no place better.
Yeah. So we used to have a show called Let's Tell the People. and the host would bring in Rufus. I don't know, you may have been on that show at some point. It goes way back. And the host would say, well, Mr. Auditor, what would you like to tell the people? So, Dave, and as we end the show today, I know that you've got a lot going on. What would you like to tell the people of North Carolina?
I would like to tell the people of North Carolina we live in the best state in the union. And I can confirm that as the state auditor. There's always areas for improvement. There's always places that we can do better and get better on, and things that mm-hmm. we can do better. But there's no better place to live in the free United States than the state of North Carolina. And I think every one of us who lives here is blessed to live here. And the people here are just fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to tell the people that
absolutely.
That we should be proud. You should be proud to live in North Carolina.
Andrea, thank you for joining us this morning. I'm sorry you're not in the studio with us today. You could have gotten some peanut brittle, and among other things.
I'll bring you some when I'm out that way, Andrea. although you intimidate me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
No, so, no, no.
So I mean, you folks need anything out there? Is anything all the folks in Mitchell County?
I just want to say it's always a pleasure to be on The Weekend Gardener.
Thank you.
And meet your eclectic guests.
We do. You never know who's going to show up. We're so honored to have all of our guests in here this morning.
And thank you, Mr. Auditor, for all your team is doing for Western North Carolina.
Especially for Western North Carolina.
Helene.
Well, you are most welcome. You are most welcome.
Hey, Andrea. I got to tell you, I don't know what that's the biggest pine cone. A squirrel would get a hernia trying to pick that thing. What is it, Rufus? I can't even see.
Well, it's something the professor brought.
Oh yeah,
I've never seen
anything. So where did that pine cone from?
So that pine cone.
You've been near a nuclear
pine
plant
cone's
or something?
About 2 feet long.
Yeah, it's actually the largest of all. That's Coulter pine. So it's from California, and this one I found up in the mountains, St. Lucia Mountains near Big Sur, California. I actually have a heavier one. It was probably the heaviest one that's ever been found. Weighed 9 pounds and 4 ounces. That's the size of
you can carry one in the car for an equalizer.
Use that in a workout routine.
Yeah, so you know we're talking about all these things that happen that aren't flowers. Look at how beautiful the pine cones are. And you know I love to see the beautiful art and stuff that people in North Carolina are talking about. Just the way we utilize the things that make us who we are. And for me, the longleaf pines is about the most beautiful cone, most beautiful thing.
Into
a holiday decoration. It may not be quite as dangerous as a 9-pound cone falling.
I'd hate to have somebody chunk that at me.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is amazing.
Yeah, you should feel. This one's not even that heavy. This one was only 7 pounds when I picked it.
I wasn't. Well, I mean, the ones around here, they're kind of prickly.
Yeah.
These are too.
Yeah, the one from San Diego County that I have is truly a weapon.
And just what is this, Patrick?
That's something I wish everybody would
mustache.
Start growing. Oh, be careful with it, because those forks on the end, that's called devil's claw. And that's a fruit. It's almost like a gourd, but it splits open and has these two. It almost looks like the tusks on an elephant attached to a little gourd. And this is a native North American plant that grows from seeds. It's annual for us. And a lot of times you'll get it as a garden weed down east. I've seen it growing on the edges of fields, but now we're starting to plant it because it has a beautiful pink or purplish colored flower, depending on the variety, sometimes white. And then these really remarkable fruits that nothing else quite looks like that. It's like a woolly mammoth got crossed with a bottle gourd. It's just bizarre.
I'd hate to run up on a crop of those.
And that's made to stick in the fur of passing animals like bison. My shirt isn't porous enough, but it sticks in the fur, and then the bison runs around and distributes the seeds over a great distance. So this really amazing claw that this thing has. So look that one up and get some seeds.
What's it called again?
It's called devil's claw or ram's horn, and the scientific name is proboscidea because it looks like a proboscis from an elephant when it's before.
Well,
it
how about that? Well, we're out of time, and Mr. Auditor Dave Bolick, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh,
and
my
thanks
pleasure.
For listening.
It's my honor. Oh, I listen every Saturday.
And come back.
I will.
You're welcome anytime.
Back.
And Patrick, we'll see you soon, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Brother
thank
Rufus,
so
we'll
much.
See you next week. And y'all all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Raleigh, Durham, Gary, Chapel Hill.